One year, my normally wonderful husband, I think all I can describe it as he had a brain snap. And one year, he gave me an iron.
An
An iron. Can you believe an iron for a Mother's
That's
Day
not a great
present?
present.
No,
Really?
no, no, no,
I
no,
thought
no.
that would be a great present.
For all, I'll just give our viewers, our male viewers out there, a bit of a hint that if it comes with a cord, it's an appliance. It's not a present. And no matter how gracious your mother or your wife may be by going, "Oh, thank you, darling, I really love that," she's likely to be thinking what I'm thinking of wanting to take that cord and wrap it around your neck. So, no appliances or presents unless they've specifically asked for that new blender or iron or toaster. So, anyway,
Well, that's probably a good tip for us all.
but I did get my husband back because for Father's Day, I gave him an ironing board. Anyway, this year, with of course, we're all on our COVID-19 lockdown, and
True.
my husband and I working from home together, and he's constantly on Zoom and phone calls, and I'm so sick of hearing, "Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?" So I ordered us both for my Mother's Day present, what I'm classing as marriage-saving noise-cancelling headphones, and wonderful present, may I say?
Very good idea.
But enough about me. We're here today to talk about the fact of God's masculine titles and feminine metaphors. So, just to clarify what that means, so we're talking about the way we call God Father, which is a masculine title, but that we often use the images of God as mother to describe his character, which is a feminine metaphor. Is that correct?
Absolutely correct, yes.
So why is that important to understand these things?
Well, I think it's really important because it helps us have a very clear and a holistic view of who God is. I mean, I think historically, history and the church particularly has given us some, I think, some rather unhelpful views of God and, setting up God as, purely male or, an authoritative figure that's distant. I think one of the a great example of that has come out of, the medieval and Renaissance period, particularly in art. A few years ago, I had the privilege to travel to Italy and to go to the Sistine Chapel.
I went to Italy a couple of years ago as well. I
Oh,
went to the
really?
Sistine
No,
Chapel.
imagine if we were there together.
Oh,
Oh, there you go. But then I'm sure you've seen that great work by Michelangelo and the painting The Creation of Adam.
yes, the finger of God. I remember standing there looking up at that.
It's very spectacular. But in some way, that has set God up as a whole white man with graying hair in the clouds. And for many, that's kind of the image they often have of God as this authority figure in the clouds looking to punish us or to judge us. And really, that's not the picture we get of God in the Bible.
And because, as you say, there certainly has been a time where the image of God was thought to only reside in the male, and that the female was something of an inferior nature.
Yeah, and unfortunately that has been true, but that's actually not the picture we get in the scriptures. And we get a very different picture from right at the very beginning.
I'm pleased to hear
Let
that.
me read to you a verse I think we all need to keep before us, and that's and it's a great starting point, Genesis 1, verse 27.
So, right at the start of the Bible.
Right at the start of the Bible. There we are told that God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And I think it's helpful to remember that together we are created in the image of God, and not just the man. And God isn't, distinctly male or distinctly female. And Jesus reminds us of that in John's Gospel 24, chapter 4, verse 24. Jesus himself reminds us that God is spirit, he said. And essentially saying that God is not male, God is not man, he's not human like us, But we are created in His image. And too often we fall into the trap of creating God in our image.
Right, yes, yes. Well, I'm very pleased to hear you say that, because I was a bit worried that on Mother's Day you'd be coming on my show and you might have been wanting to make the point that women were inferior to men. A big few to that, because, you know, I really like what you're saying, that it's both the maleness and the femaleness together that make up the image of God,
correct.
The correct image of God.
Yeah, a holistic view, and I think that's really important.
Yeah. So we shouldn't just think of God in male terms. Do you have any examples of God's feminine qualities?
Yeah, there are quite a number throughout the Bible. You know, I think there are 26, 28 references that directly, you know, reflect God's feminine qualities.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, particularly in the prophets, Hosea 11, verses 3 and 4, describes God as a mother.
Right.
It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, I who took them up in my arms, but they did not know that I had healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was like it was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them.
So that was way back in what? 8th century BC or something, would that have
It's one of the 8th century then? Prophets, very good.
Oh, very good. That's from an Old Testament viewpoint. Anything from a New Testament viewpoint that may describe God in the feminine character?
Well, Jesus himself actually used female metaphors to describe himself and his own, you know, attitude or actions towards others. In Matthew 23, verse 37, Jesus, looking over to Jerusalem, said how often he had longed to gather, you know, your children together as a hen and gathers her chicks. So again, a really mother quality that we find even in Jesus.
I really love that whole image of a mother hen gathering her chicks together. That is a really beautiful image of God.
Yeah.
Some of my favourite images of God as mother come from Isaiah. I don't know whether you know those, where it sort of paints God in that, as an actual human mother. Do you know those verses?
Yeah, I do. I think perhaps you're thinking of Isaiah 42, verse 14. There the prophet tells us that for a long time, I, speaking of God, have kept silent. I've been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp, and I pant. And here's God, his expectation, you know, expecting, like a mother expecting a child.
Mm. Yeah.
So there are, and there are many others. Isaiah 66, verse 13 says, as a mother comforts her child, so will I, God, comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem.
Thank you for that. Now, I do know that there'd be some, you know, shall we say, conservative Christians today that may have been quite uneasy with using feminine images of God. How would you respond to that?
Well, yeah, there are some who would say that this is, you know, something new or, you know, coming from progressive Christians. But really, we find examples throughout history and even from some of our early church fathers who use this combined language of God into both masculine and feminine type language to describe God and our faith.
Can you give me an example?
Here's an example from the second century. Clement of Alexandria mixed his metaphors in describing describing Christians actually nursing at the breast of God. And there's a, you know, that's a, you can't get a clearer kind of motherly type example of that, of us going to God, nursing at his breast.
Yeah. So are you sort of saying there then that we should call God mother?
No, actually not saying that. Really, the script, you know, scriptures doesn't open that up to us.
Okay.
And God is very clear. He has revealed himself to us as father. And it's not that God has distorted that view or that title. In many ways, we have, because of perhaps our poor relationships with our own fathers, or people having unfortunately abusive or absent absent parents or absent fathers. And look, and there's many reasons why we shouldn't, and people do their whole doctorates just on this one topic. But some of the reasons grew out of just where Christianity came from. You know, we grew out of the Jewish faith, and then as God calls his people together, as God raises up this nation and people unto himself, he did so in a very pluralistic society where there were many, many gods.
And certainly many female goddesses and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And, you know, worshipping of Mother God and worship of goddesses was quite common.
Yeah.
And so in some ways too, part of, you know, God setting himself up, you know, he wanted to be distinct from that. Worshipping one God, being monotheistic, if you like, was, you know, setting Israel apart from everybody else. And God having that clear title of being Father and being Lord and Creator is also quite unique, and that's very important.
Okay. So why do you think this is so important to us today to have this understanding?
Well, I think there are a number of reasons. I think firstly, as we mentioned, to have a holistic view of God. Unfortunately, we've often created God in our image and defined God on our terms. But it's really important that we relate to God on his terms and how he has described himself. So he describes that we're created in his image, not God created in ours.
Yeah.
And so he bears the marks of male and female. And so that holistic view is really, really important. And then on this Mother's Day, I think it's appropriate more than any other occasion to kind of push back on some of those historic, images that we've been given that have been quite detrimental to women.
So do you think this view really challenges the typical stereotypes of the Western world that describes men as the stronger sex?
Yeah, I think it does. I really do. I think it speaks about equality and reminds us that men and women were created equally in the image of God. And together we become whole. And even Jesus affirmed that. He reaffirmed that image of Genesis 2 as he spoke about men and women coming together and being married, and that together we become one in God.
So do you have any final thoughts on this?
Well, I think, yeah, I do. I'm actually married to a very strong and powerful woman.
Oh, I think I'd like to meet her.
I think you would get along very well. And she's a leader in her own right, and I think we need to, encourage that. I think it speaks to men to be more nurturing and caring and to stop separating these qualities that and that divide that separates men and women. So I think it really does challenge those stereotypes.
Because men really need to be, showing those more caring, empathetic sides of their character. That's what God showed his side in that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And as my wife and I continue to journey in life and in partnership with God and one another, as we seek to live on mission and in mission, you know, certainly it's our belief that while we seek to reflect who God is individually, we feel that, we do that better when we do that together. That together as husband and wife, as man and woman, we can, better reflect who God is and point to God through our actions as we interact with our friends and our neighbours here in the community that we live.
Well, thank you, Ian, for joining us this morning, and thank you, viewers, for your time. I look forward to seeing you again on another edition of Mornings with Carol and Anne. To take us out this morning, we've got a beautiful song of Good, Good Father performed by Christina, Josh and Jordan. Thank you.